Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and day two of our May business article. We've been talking about cynicism and how it can negatively impact our paychecks and our relationships. And before we get into day two, let's say hello to our panelists once again, Simon and Linda. Thanks for coming back and joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here again.
All right. So yesterday we talked a lot about cynics and how it can negatively impact our lives. Simon, what was something that stood out to you about yesterday's article?
Well, I guess it was actually just kind of the idea of what cynicism really is. Mm-hmm. When I first picked up this article, I was a little concerned I might be cynical. Because like most people, sometimes I have kind of negative feelings or I don't trust everybody all the time. But really, cynicism is much more than that. Towards the end of yesterday's reading, we got into this idea that cynicism is actually like a really unhealthy kind of mental pattern, mm-hmm. where you're sort of even behaving strangely and sort of just mistrusting everyone all the time for reasons that aren't necessarily very well founded.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's hard for you to really get close to people when you are cynical and when you are suspicious of people, you know, and that can negatively impact your relationships. And as a result, it can negatively impact your paycheck because you're less likely to ask for feedback. You're less likely to build bonds with your coworkers, with your bosses. And these relationships and bonds are the things that can promote you to bigger and better positions and higher salaries.
Right. And our topic has been on, you know, how cynicism affects our income, but just even knowing all of the health effects that cynicism can have, that turns me off of being a cynic.
That's true. So what were some of those health problems that we talked about yesterday?
Well, there's depression, heart disease, obesity. And we discuss like relationships, not being able to have close relationships or bonding with other people.
Mm. Well, I don't know about you. I hope that as you're reading this article, it's not causing you to be anxious or worried or to think, okay, maybe I have a problem. We're not here to try to make you feel bad, but we do like to help you to be aware of different things. And if you do find yourself agreeing with a lot of the statements that we talked about yesterday, for example, most people inwardly dislike putting themselves out to help other people, or most people will use somewhat unfair means to gain profit or an advantage rather than lose it. Or I think most people would lie in order to get ahead. And lastly, I commonly wonder what hidden reasons another person may have for doing something nice for me. If some of these thoughts are your own thoughts, don't worry, all right? You don't have to continue in this train of thought. A lot of times, cynical people and cynicism is a result of different experiences that you may have had and different problems that you have experienced. But learning how to trust people is something that we can learn and something that we can overcome. But before we go into that, let's take a look at what the problem is with cynicism, all right? So please join us on the first column of page 39, right under the number 26, and we'll take a look at what the problem with cynicism is.
Problem is, cynicism may seem real because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, says Amy Edmondson, a leadership professor at Harvard Business School. If we believe people are constantly trying to cheat us and behave in ways that reflect those beliefs, we're the ones who will appear to be, or will be, untrustworthy. It's ironic, because you're arming yourself against being taken advantage of, says Edmondson. But you're creating the very thing you're trying to avoid, which is being let down. Even trusting souls can catch some degree of cynicism, thanks to organizational changes such as layoffs or reorganizations, says Terry A. Scandura, a management professor at the University of Miami School of Business Administration. That's why it's critical during those times for managers to communicate with employees, explaining the reasons for any changes, what is going to happen, and who will be affected. People have a psychological contract with an organization, says Scandura, and when they see layoffs coming, it's a breach, and it results in that kind of cynicism. The culture can become negative, and people don't trust bosses or coworkers.
All right, so we start off the article with an interesting premise. I think it's really interesting how it talks about cynicism may seem real. Why is that? Why might cynicism seem real, Linda?
Well, it talks here about a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, if you believe that people are out to get you, that they're not trustworthy, then you're going to treat them in a way that you would a person who can't be trusted, and they end up being that way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have experience in this when it comes to taxi drivers.
Uh-huh.
Like, I always think taxi drivers are going to cheat me. That's why, you know, I hardly ever take taxis. And so when I do, like, I already have this, you know, this prophecy or this belief. And so, you know, they end up doing that, you know, it's because maybe I'm thinking that, and maybe they feel that vibe, and so it ends up becoming true. And so that's what, you know, I mean by self-fulfilling prophecy. But anyway.
So you're telling us you're a little cynical about taxi drivers.
Yes. I mean, I should make an effort not to be, but I avoid that by just not, you know, taking taxis.
Just don't
take
them.
All right, so let's talk about this term, self-fulfilling prophecy. I think that's a really interesting term, right? We just define it as something that occurs because you have the expectation that it will happen.
That's right. So the idea basically being that you expect something to happen, that's the prophecy part, and then because you expect it to happen, you're looking for signs of it to be happening. And so you see things you otherwise might not notice.
Okay.
So for example, with Linda and the taxi driver, she might notice things like they charge an extra fee for opening the trunk, right? And for most people, that might just seem like a thing, you know, they open the trunk, you pay the fee, that's eh. Move on with your day. But for Linda, she might be looking for signals that they are, in fact, trying to cheat her, and see that and interpret it as proof of the prophecy she has made.
Yeah, in fact, the last time I took a taxi, I noticed that the meter was clicking very quickly. You know, like, and so I actually asked the taxi driver about that, and I was thinking, oh, something's wrong with his meter, you know, he's charging me more. But it turns out that it was a new meter that he put in, and that's how it normally clicks. So yeah, just looking for things that maybe aren't a problem, but in my mind, it becomes a problem.
Yes. Yeah. And that is one aspect of the self-fulfilling prophecy, is seeing things and noticing things that other people might not notice. But I think also another aspect of the self-fulfilling prophecy is actually causing the very thing that you're afraid will happen to happen by believing in it, you know?
Yeah.
In a way, for example, okay, so a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm also thinking of, for example, my wife is very, very wary of germs, you know? And so she's always making us wash our hands when we get home. But the interesting thing is that when you wash your hands too much and you create too much of a sterile environment, kids aren't really able to develop their immune system, and therefore they get sick.
Right. They're more likely.
Often,
yeah.
Right? So that's kind of that self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you're avoiding being sick by washing your hands too much, and you create such a sterile environment that the kids aren't able to develop their immune system, and therefore they end up getting sick even more. So
exactly.
So we need to be careful. Friends.
So I guess I would say here, though, again, it's important to seek balance. So it's important to remember that this idea of being cynical here, the problem with cynicism is when you are always cynical.
Right.
Everybody has a little bit of cynicism, and there are, I want to separate this from the taxi drivers for a minute, but there are certain, like, businesses and industries and things that really do have kind of a poor reputation for you know, their honesty and their quality of service and stuff. And so it's probably pretty common for the general public to be a little cynical about that kind of thing. Yeah. The problem is when you always come cynically to the table expecting that everyone is always going to try to cheat you.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
So yeah. That's where we're talking about this self-fulfilling prophecy where people are looking for bad things to happen. And then when anything happens, regardless of whether it's a little bad or kind of normal bad or intentional bad, they interpret it as being proof that they were right to be cynical.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right. And so the article describes it as saying, if we believe people are constantly trying to cheat us and behave in ways that reflect those beliefs, we're the ones who will appear to be or will be untrustworthy.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So the very thing that, you know, we're trying to avoid or, you know, trying to or fear in other people, we're becoming exactly that.
That's right. And it's ironic because you're arming yourself against being taken advantage of, but you're creating the very thing you're trying to avoid, which is being let down.
Well, yeah, and that phrase, take advantage of, is very important here because I think the idea is if you are expecting other people to try to take advantage of you, you kind of want to get them first, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you become the person who is taking advantage rather than, you know, letting yourself be open, I guess, with
right.
other people.
Yeah.
You can see that especially when you think about, like, working with other people, how it's important to sort of share the workload and share information and things like that. And if you think the other people are going to try to cheat you, you're likely to kind of dump work on them and not share information with them, but try to get information out of them. And that makes you like a bad person to work with,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, in a way, we've been talking a lot about some extreme cases, but as we were saying a little bit earlier, even trusting souls can catch some degree of cynicism, right? And what causes that, Linda?
Well, one instance would be layoffs or reorganizations. In companies. And a layoff is when a company has to let go of certain coworkers because of business or for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So they can't work. And in any situation in which there are layoffs, it always creates sort of paranoia. Like you don't know who is going to get laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important what Terry Scandura, professor at the University of Miami Business School, says it's important for managers to communicate mm-hmm. with their employees. Let them know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to draw a distinction, too, with this word layoff. In English, being laid off is different from being fired. Mm-hmm. Usually when we say someone is fired, we mean they lose their job. But they do it because of something bad they have done. With layoffs, you lose your job, so you might feel like you're being fired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because you've done anything bad. It's rather because the company just can't afford to keep you or mm-hmm. has changed what it's doing and your
right,
position
right.
isn't needed.
Right.
So being laid off doesn't have the socially negative stigma.
Right.
The bad like reputation
fired,
attached
right.
that being fired does. But it's still a very worrisome thing mm-hmm. if you've ever worked for a company that's
right.
going through a restructuring.
Yeah.
You very rarely know who's going to get the boot, who's
right.
going to get kicked out, and when
right.
they're going to get kicked out. It
yeah.
causes all kinds of stress and tension.
Right, and I think that's also why there is a bit of cynicism involved, right? Because you didn't necessarily do anything wrong to merit being laid off. So you're wondering, okay, well, what is it? You know, did someone say something? You know,
right.
is my boss out to get me? So there are all these, and you know, I think in general, people don't really deal well with change. A lot of people like the stability of having a job and being familiar with the environment and knowing what to expect. But when things shift in your company, things can make you feel uncomfortable, you know. And so as Linda was saying, the best way to combat that for managers is to communicate with employees, explaining the reasons for any changes and what's going to happen and who will be affected. The more they can communicate that, the more people can be prepared, and then the more they'll know that, okay, the manager is actually trying to take care of us and not out to get us.
Well, even if your manager isn't trying to take care of you, which I guess is cynical. Like, in my experience, things like layoffs and restructuring tend to be, they just follow the formula. Mm-hmm. Like the people who get paid the most get laid off, or the people who are newest at the company get laid off, or there's some kind of system, but it ends up feeling like a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think if managers are just saying, you know, like, you know, it's not personal. We just got rid of everybody who's been here 2 years or less.
Right.
So you have an explanation for why things are. I think it maybe makes it easier. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But let's talk a little bit about why people would feel kind of betrayed if they do get laid off, or if there are some reorganizations in the company when things aren't explained very clearly. What does it say about people and their psychological contract?
Well, it basically says people have a psychological contract with an organization. And sometimes you hear the term social contract. And I think that's basically the same kind of thing here, where we don't actually sign a piece of paper that is a contract. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, there is sort of an agreement that we have with the company. You know, I'll work for you. You'll take care of me. Pay me my money on time.
Right.
Not injure me. Those sorts of things. And so when you see layoffs coming and you don't know who's going to be laid off or when or whatever, it's a breach, which means the contract is broken, is being broken by the company or the manager, and the result is a cynicism.
Right. So we often see this word breach in association with the contract, right? When a contract is broken, when a promise isn't kept, then we say that the contract has been breached. So in a way, it's basically that there's a trust that happens, and it's not a trust that's written on paper. It's just kind of this mental trust. You just believe that the company is going to take care of you. You believe your boss is going to pay you what you're worth and pay you for your work. But then all of a sudden, you see this layoff coming and you might lose your job. You're starting to wonder and you lose a little bit of your trust.
Right. So that you might see that as your trust trust being broken. Mm-hmm. And so you tend to develop a bit of cynicism.
Right. Okay. So how do we deal with cynicism? All right. We've talked a lot about being cynical. We've talked a lot about cynicism. How can we take control of our cynicism and not let it negatively affect us? Let's finish our article in the second column of page 39, starting at putting your mind to work.
Putting your mind to work. Critical thinking can help combat cynicism, says Michael Yapko, a clinical psychologist in San Diego, California. Rather than being globally pessimistic, think specifically about what worries you. Within that framework, distinguish the things that affect you personally from the things that really are personal. For example, if you're one of 100 layoffs, it's going to be a problem, but it's not a situation unique to you. Also, he advises, you'll be better off if you curtail complaining. It won't make you money, as people chosen to lead projects are typically those who are positive and inspiring. Sharpen your social intelligence by being selective about your grievances. You may not change a cynic to becoming open and happy, says Yapko, but you can establish healthy boundaries.
All right, so in this section we hear from Michael Yapko. He's a clinical psychologist. A clinical psychologist is someone who is trained and licensed to treat mental illness and emotional disorders. And as we've been saying, when you're cynical, you are a little neurotic, and there is a little bit of mental illness or disorder involved. And so Michael Yapko is kind of an expert here. What does Michael Yapko say, Linda?
He says that rather than being globally pessimistic, being negative all the time, that we should think specifically about what worries us, not just be, you know, not just worry about everything, but specify what particularly worries us or what is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And within that framework, distinguish the things that affect you personally from the things that are really personal. So like we gave the example of layoffs earlier, a layoff, it's not it's not our fault. It's the company restructuring or it's the economy. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't take that personally. It's not like we're getting fired. Mm-hmm. So we have to distinguish what's personal and what's not personal.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what Michael is saying can be summed up really with the first line there, where it says critical thinking can help combat cynicism. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note here, though, that when we say critical thinking, we're talking about like thinking clearly mm-hmm. and logically. We're not talking about thinking in a critical way.
That's right. So we're right. not talking about being critical or criticizing, right? So this word critical can have several different meanings. Actually, we do use the word critical in the previous section. It says it's critical during these times for managers to communicate with employees. So that meaning of critical, meaning it's very, very important. Right. Mm-hmm. Here, when we talk about critical thinking, again, we're not talking about being critical and criticizing. We're talking about exercising careful judgment and evaluating the situation carefully. All right. When you're able to do this, you can combat cynicism. And as Linda was saying, the way we do that is we think specifically about what it is that we are worrying about. Right? And distinguishing uh-huh. those things that affect us personally from those things that are not personal. So an example they give here is if you're one of 100 layoffs, it's not a personal thing. It's not because the boss hates you or the boss is out to get you. It's just, you know, right now the company can't afford you and the 99 other people. Right? And so you're just one of 100, so it's not a personal thing. All right. What else does he advise us about?
Well, he suggests that we're better off not complaining. He says specifically we should curtail complaining. And curtail means sort of cut short or limit the amount of complaining we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. Because who really likes being around a complainer? If somebody's always complaining, you'll tend to avoid that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I guess more importantly here, complaining doesn't make you any money. It doesn't really change anything.
No, in fact, it can have a negative impact on you because people chosen to lead projects are typically what kind of people?
Well, they're people who are positive and inspiring. So, for example, they're looking on the bright side. They're wanting to do this project because they're wanting to do something new and bold and something that works. And people find that inspiring and want to help out with those projects.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And those types of people are also the ones that are more likely to get promotions.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I like the description here that the writer uses. He says, sharpen your social intelligence. So what is social intelligence exactly?
Well, that refers to our ability to manage relationships in a way that produces positive results. So it's how we interact with other people, and we want those results to be positive. So we can sharpen our social intelligence or EQ, emotional intelligence, by being selective about our grievances or our complaints.
And what it means by being selective about your grievances is actually sort of another English saying. We say, pick your battles, right? So choose which things you're going to fight about or complain about or try to change, and then just sort of let other things go because you can't win in every situation.
That's right. And this is where critical thinking can come into play, right? And just really evaluating, is this something worth me complaining about? Is this something worth causing a fuss about? Or is this something that I can just kind of let slide, right? And kind of just move on. And being able to be wise about the things that we complain about, the things that we fight over, and the things that we kind of get upset about. That is very important, not just at work, but in life and in our relationships, right? All right, what is the last thing that Yapko says about cynics?
Well, it's not the most hopeful thing to end an article on, I suppose, but I guess it's important to remember, again, we've said this several times, but we're not necessarily saying that all people who are a little cynical are cynics. We're talking about people here who are maybe more, I don't want to say in need of psychological help, but they're following an unhealthy cynical pattern
right.
all the time.
Right.
And so it says, you may not change a cynic to become open and happy. So you might not have a cynic become a very happy, trusting person, but you can establish healthy boundaries.
Right.
Right, and I feel like he ends with like this idea of establishing boundaries. That's a whole different topic that we could get into. But we can't be expected to change others, but we can control how they affect us.
Right.
And I think even cynical people can establish those boundaries for themselves. I mean, if you are aware of this idea that you are kind of, you tend to be cynical and untrusting, mm-hmm. you can sort of develop habits that help you kind of manage that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
By doing these things, like they've said here, be selective about the things you're going to have grievances with, recognizing when things are personal mm-hmm. versus when they are just things that affect you personally among other people.
Right.
And so maybe asking yourself those questions, if you are a cynical person, is a helpful way mm-hmm. to control that constant cynicism.
Right.
Right.
And, I mean, realizing that, you know, our thoughts are a result of the way we look at things, right? And so being aware of your thought process, being aware of the things that you're maybe questioning, and being aware of some of your triggers. You know, what are the things, why might you be cynical? Did something happen in your past to cause you to be cynical? And taking a look at that, you know, and maybe being aware of that could help you to trust people a little bit more, and maybe being selective about, you know, let's observe people, and maybe there are certain people in your life or at your work that you can be more trusting of, and you can start from there and start trusting them, and little by little you can build up your trust of people in general.
Yeah, and doing all of those things might help you reach your potential if you really are a person who is cynical and you've been stunted.
Mm-hmm.
And it might make you more money,
yeah,
which is a great thing.
That's right. All right, well, we hope that this article has been helpful for you in your life and in your career. We hope that it's caused you to think a little bit more, and maybe you're not cynical, but maybe there's someone in your life who is cynical, and maybe you can share this article with them to help them out. And we always enjoy having you here with us and studying with us, and we hope that you will come and join us again soon. All right, and we would love to hear from you. Write us at letters@studioclassroom.com. Remember to check out our QR code at the top of page 38, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.